This is Ryan Nilsson. I'm sitting with Dominique Alicio at the National Farm Worker Ministry office in Orlando, Florida. It's August 17th at about 5:45, and we'll talk for a little while. That's good. So, Dominique, how did you first get involved with the National Farm Worker Ministry?
My first time coming into contact with the National Farm Worker Ministry was my freshman year, the second week of school. I went to a talk that about labor rights. That's all I knew. And it turns out that Dolores Huerta was giving the talk. I actually asked her in friendly conversation before the event who she was and where she was from. And she explained to me that she helped co-found the United Farm Workers Union with Cesar Chavez. She was super sweet and patient. And at the event, Larissa, the organizer with National Farm Worker Ministry, came to invite students to participate in an upcoming march. And she was really wonderful. She spoke with a lot of passion. And she asked if any students would be interested in forming a group to mobilize other students to participate in the march and to support farm worker campaigns. And so I jumped on board. Everything that I had heard Dolores say and that Larissa had said definitely moved me, and I was already really interested in... I grew up in the Catholic Church and had opportunities to work with the farm worker community in Lakeland, where I'm from, and I jumped at the opportunity to help mobilize people to that march. It was a coalition of Immokalee workers march in Miami against Burger King, and after that, Larissa really stuck with me. She was coming from DeLand at the time, from the office over in DeLand, and we started just slowly but surely building a group that would want to continue supporting the campaigns National Farm Worker Ministry was working on, and that evolved into the Orlando Yaya chapter that is doing really well now, and I think has done a lot of great work supporting the local farm work organizations here and the national campaigns that we support.
Cool. So when you say everything that Dolores Huerta and Larissa were saying at that first meeting, you said that it moved you. What sort of things do you remember those being?
I honestly really don't remember. I really don't remember what they said, but it was enough to get me involved. I'm sure what they said was brilliant. I don't know.
That's cool. You mentioned growing up Catholic and that having exposed you to farm workers in some way before.
Mm-hmm.
How have your beliefs and values, whether they're Catholic or not, affected your interest in the ministry?
Sure. I guess my whole belief system was definitely shaped in the Catholic Church. My family is Catholic, and I went to a Catholic school from the time I was in preschool to eighth grade, and then was really involved with the youth ministry during high school. And I was definitely really drawn to liberation theology, to the Catholic social teachings. And my mom, actually, when I was in high school, she participated in the Just Faith program as a participant, and then as a co-instructor for the course. And so we had a really kind of our household and at my school, some of my teachers were really great places to learn about injustice and the church's position on inequality, and to learn about some of the really inspiring activists in the church, like Oscar Romero from El Salvador, and Dorothy Day, and and then through our church, there was, there still is a farm worker ministry with some of the different Catholic churches in my area that basically just provide basic services, and they do a couple of events every year welcoming farm workers back when the season starts, the migrant farm workers in the area, and just providing, like, there's always free food at the event, and then there's clothes and different household supplies, and so it's mostly charity and social services, but it was an opportunity for me to see the huge need in the community that I would have had, really, I had no idea that that type of poverty existed, like really crushing poverty within our own Catholic community. So that was, I mean, I had volunteered, during high school, I had volunteered at a few of those events with the farm worker ministry, and that was definitely something that had a huge impact on me.
Do you think you could say why you chose to get more involved with the National Farm Worker Ministry rather than the Catholic Church in college?
Yeah, I mean, so when I,
I guess I was assuming that you weren't also involved.
I was, yeah. I wasn't. I mean, just, I guess, I mean, when I got to college, I had always been really passionate about social justice, but that became my focus. In high school, I was definitely more focused on theology, and when I got to college, I just had some life changes that made me feel like anything that we were doing in the church that wasn't focused on working toward ending the injustices that were, to me, so overwhelming, I felt like that wasn't where I needed to be, and so I kind of searched around a little bit and didn't find what I was looking for with the campus ministry at the time. It's definitely changed a little bit since then, I think. But, yeah, and so I was, at that time I was just really focused on action. I definitely, but that was, that's just me. That's just where I was at the time, because obviously a lot of activism is supported by really wonderful spiritual community, but that's just how it worked out for me.
Cool. Can you share with me a specific memory maybe about your early involvement with the ministry after that first event where you met Dolores Huerta and asked who she was? You can take some time too.
Yeah, I know. I was like trying to think before I came of a good memory. Okay, I will talk about our first bicycle delivery. That was probably, I don't know, that was probably a year later. So up until that point, we had been, I don't know, we were, the first thing that we were working on after the CIW march was in, I think, November, and then we were working on a petition campaign to have the EPA ban methyl iodide, and that was really exciting because it was a wonderful outreach opportunity, so Larissa and I went with her to St. Augustine to outreach to people there. And we had other students getting petitions signed. So that was, like, a great opportunity to outreach and do something that it was just so simple and clear-cut that we're still using this incredibly dangerous chemical that is so harmful to everyone who eats food and to the farm workers. So that was a project that was, it was great because we had really clear goals and it was just so simple for people to understand and get involved in. So the bicycle delivery that I wanted to tell you about, so I think it probably was a year later once we had a Yaya chapter going, the bicycle project is where we find or we have people donate bicycles. Many of them need to be repaired, so we have volunteers repair the bicycles. It's a great way to recycle the bikes that otherwise a lot of times would probably end up in a landfill. And we also love it when people give bikes that are in working condition. That's very nice also. And then we talk with a local farm work organization who can identify people in the community who really need a bicycle, and we make a community event out of it. And we've now donated, I think, over 250 bicycles, maybe more than that. And we've held a lot of these community, we share a meal and have a community conversation. And then we distribute the bikes. And so that first one was with the Alianza de Mujeres Activas in Seville, which in English is Active Women's Alliance, and we call them AMA for short. And it was very exciting because they have a really strong community. The meeting, all of their meetings took place at the house of Ana Laura, who is the president of the organization, in the pavilion that the community had built next to her house. And if I remember right, it was a potluck, and we all brought food. They probably made food also, though. And it was so exciting for them to invite us into their community. It was a really special experience. We brought a group of students from Orlando, and that Seville is a little teeny tiny rural community. It's pretty isolated to them. I remember Ana Laura was saying, you know, Orlando feels like, you know, like another world because it's pretty far. And especially one of the reasons that the bicycles are so necessary is because a lot of the farm workers there and people in the community don't have driver's licenses because of their immigration status, or they just simply can't afford a car. And so they are, you know, they end up walking everywhere. There's not an accessible grocery store. We heard stories about pregnant women walking to the hospital in DeLand, which is it's at least 10 miles. No, it's like 30 minutes driving. It's far. Walking to the hospital, it's ridiculous. You know, and just anytime someone, whether it was taking their kids to the doctor or going to get groceries, they would either have to walk or find a ride. So it was a really needed service. But just the experience of sitting down with the ladies, and I think that there was, I always talk about when I, that experience for me was one of where I felt like the barrier between communities was really tangible. I think that for the students coming from Orlando, there was definitely, you know, they felt like really uncomfortable and out of their element because all of a sudden they were the minority stepping into someone else's community as a guest, and they had the opportunity to feel like, okay, I don't know what the cultural norms are here, and I don't know, I don't really know anything about these people's lives, and I don't know, you know, maybe how I'm supposed to act, and I think that all of the assumptions that middle class students hold about farm workers really made that's what created like a tangible awkwardness. But, and also the language barrier, of course, but we had really intentional like little breakouts. Like we had the community discussion together, and then we put a translator with small groups of people to make sure that everybody felt the ability to communicate. And one of the main goals was just to hang out and give people the opportunity to say, hey, okay, like this is fun, easy, and farm workers are people just like us who like to have fun and do the same things that we do, because the sad reality is that a lot of people don't understand that. And even though I wanted to understand that, I have to say for myself that I've undergone like a 360 degree transformation since that first event, as far as just being able to respect farm workers as people and hang out and understand we're all really exactly the same. And it's just, I think, a really sad reality of our society, and you have to have events like that and intentional spaces for people to get together and get to know each other in order to destroy those assumptions that really do keep us divided.
So you say that you've had a really significant change in your perspective through some of the awkwardness of that and kind of realizing the barriers between these communities. What do you think is the general effect for other students? What have you seen? What kind of changes have you seen in other students through those kinds of experiences meeting farm workers?
Well, I don't think everyone was as clueless as I was. I think at this point we have, like, the Orlando Yaya chapter is really pretty diverse, and we have a wonderful group of people from all walks of life who, some of them, and some of the other Yaya chapters also, some of them are from farm worker families, have done farm work, you know, so not everyone came in like I did. Of people who were there at the beginning and have stuck with things, definitely. I don't know. I mean, I guess this is a conversation that is not that easy to have. So I guess, and I can't really speak for people. But as far as, I guess I can observe that other members of the chapter definitely who maybe felt really uncomfortable trying to initiate a conversation with a farm worker now can, or with anybody from another culture who speaks a different language, because I think the language barrier is also, you know, that's very uncomfortable for a lot of people. So I see that they feel comfortable approaching people and asking about their lives and trying to get to know them as people. Yep. And as far as the women in Alma go, wow, we have created such a wonderful relationship with them. I feel like I'm welcome in their community whenever we go. And I mean, since then we co-sponsored a soccer game fundraiser together that was a blast, and it was Yaya playing against Ama, and we've really created a wonderful partnership with them. So, and I mean, wow, thinking back to that first event that we did with them, we've come a really long way. It's really, actually, I see the picture from the soccer game on the wall here.
So we can take your picture with that later, so as a reference to it.
Yes, sounds good.
So you've mentioned kind of campus education events, like policy work, the bicycle project. Do you think that the things that you've mentioned are a pretty good description overall of what Yaya is doing, or what your experience has been? working with the National Farm Worker Ministry? Are there other aspects you haven't mentioned?
Yes, definitely. In the past couple years, we got really involved in the fight for ag jobs and for immigration reform. And then in the past legislative session in Florida, against the Arizona-style anti-immigrant legislation. And through that, we ended up organizing rallies with some of them co-sponsored with organizations, but some of them rallies that we organized ourselves, and then we mobilized other organizations in the community to come out. And so I think that engaging with our representatives and working with the farm worker organizations in the area to make those protests happen, and then doing the follow-up work, some of the follow-up lobbying, that is work that was both, like, really crucial, but it was really wonderful opportunity for people in the chapter to grow as activists and to kind of realize our potential, to realize our power in the community, and I guess the power of the community to make noise, get our message out in the media, and show that there is a really, I don't know, I guess a really viable farm worker and immigrant rights movement in Central Florida. So I think that was, I guess, like, both the work that we did and then the skills that we've carried through from that is something, a really important part of Yaya.
Is that, I guess, the growing as an activist in the educational process, developing skills, do you think that Larissa and kind of the people on staff, I guess you were on staff for a while, are intentionally trying to develop those skills in youth and young adults? Or is that just what happens when you get thrown in, when you really are working in these campaigns?
Definitely. We definitely are intentional about it because, I mean, the idea is that everyone who touches us feels empowered to mobilize others and to get stuff done. like make change happen. So, Larissa is like the most wonderful, incredible organizing trainer I think that I have ever had the joy of being in an organizing training with. So, she has created several trainings, working on skills from recruiting to working with the media, how to run a meeting where you delegate tasks and follow through with them, which is basically, you know, those are the essential parts of organizing a rally, is how to delegate and work as a team and make sure that everyone follows through with their piece of the event and the planning. So, and of course, always with, you know, we've always had support from the staff, both here in Florida and in St. Louis in the national office. That's a really intentional piece of Yaya, is developing leadership.
So you're mentioning this kind of national picture. What's your relationship been like with the national office and what's going on in other regions of the country?
It kind of just depends on what's happening in the farm worker movement. Obviously, when it comes to May and FLOC is, for the past few years, has been organizing their action at the R.J. Reynolds shareholders meeting.
Can you tell me about that?
Yes, I can. What do you want to know about it? at that time of the year, we're definitely, way more in touch with people in North Carolina, and the Board of National Farm Worker Ministry and the staff has always been really supportive in helping us financially get up to North Carolina. We've been able to bring a really nice sized group. You know, local churches in North Carolina lend a hand to make it happen, to give us a place to stay up there. So, and then when, for example, with the Ag Jobs campaign, trying to get that legislation passed to give farm workers a pathway to citizenship, we were in touch with the UFW, and also talking to Virginia a lot about that legislation, the National Farm Worker Ministry Director of Virginia.
With these exposures to what's going on the national scale and in North Carolina, other parts, do you have an impression or strong idea about how Florida is distinct, maybe the history of Florida, or the kind of the contemporary issues in Florida, how the National Farm Worker Ministry's work here is unique?
Well, definitely what we're doing with YAYA is unique to Florida, and I would really love to see it happen in other places where we, I know out in LA, I unfortunately really don't know that much about what the work in LA, in that office, but I know that they have had some youth involvement over there and in North Carolina also, but I guess as far as focusing on building chapters of young people who are organizing their own events and in some cases developing campaigns in partnership with farm work organizations, that's been unique here.
Cool. I think you may have answered this to some degree, but what would you say has kept you involved with the ministry over the last, is it five, 4 years?
4 years, yes. Okay, so obviously relationships are always very important. My relationship with Larissa as the organizer, with the other staff people, with other people in the YAYA chapter, and with the farm worker organizations and individual farm workers here in the area. But I think also I love National Farm Worker Ministry because I think the mission of supporting any farm worker organization who is organizing to change their lives, to improve their workplaces, is just the mission is so important, and we are really unique as an organization. And, man, the board members are just awesome. The board members of National Farm Worker Ministry have been around in the farm worker movement forever, right? You know, they were hanging out with Cesar Chavez back in the day, and they have so much historical memory, and they're so genuine in their passion for the farm worker movement. Being around them is just a 100% affirmation that this organization has got it going on. and then also the urgency that National Farm Worker Ministry brings to our work. If you care about something, you need to be around other people who are willing to put 100% into the work and are willing to, of course, you know, put in the extra hours, and really be where, you know, when there's an opportunity, whether it's, you know, the company is maybe about to speak with a farm worker union, and we need everyone out making phone calls and petitions, whatever the situation is, like, the sense of solidarity and willingness to jump in when needed is really important to me.
That's really, what you're just saying is really exciting to me, especially because I'm going to my first board meeting next week.
Ooh, you're gonna have fun. They're so cool.
Well, I've heard that consistently. So you've mentioned several campaigns, policy, and kind of consumer campaigns that you've worked on through the National Farm Worker Ministry. Can you share with me one of those that has felt particularly successful, or in whatever way you would define the success?
Sure. Okay. So definitely the Farm Labor Organizing Committee, their campaign with R.J. Reynolds, Reynolds American Tobacco, has been a campaign that's really important to me and to our chapter, because they're on the ground organizing. So, okay, well, first, the history of that of FLOC as a union is really incredible. You know, they developed the corporate campaign style when they decided to take on Campbell's Soup back in the late 70s, I think, is when they started that campaign. As far as going to the retailer, the processor of the food, who's coming out with a finished product that people could boycott. So now it's R.J. Reynolds Tobacco, and again, it's a brand that people can connect with. A lot of people say, oh, you know, of course they say, oh yeah, I smoke Camels. They can connect with the brand and understand the you know, how the lives of farm workers are connected to their own lives. So of course the campaign style is wonderful and brilliant, and I think that I love supporting FLOC, because Baltimore, the president of FLOC, is so accessible and is such an amazing leader of the farm worker movement historically, and the organizers of the union are so accessible, and we have the opportunity to really hear about what's going on the ground when they're going and knocking on doors and talking to farm workers and asking them to join the union. And we get to hear about the work that they're doing on the ground to improve farm workers' lives. So then that makes all of the work that we do, talking about the human rights abuses in tobacco fields and this campaign against R.J. Reynolds, that makes it so much more relevant to us, because we know exactly, you know, we've talked to tobacco farm workers, we've talked to the union organizers. And then, of course, and the situation in North Carolina is just really miserable and urgent. There have been 9 deaths in the fields over the past few years due to heat stroke. R.J. Reynolds is making absurd amounts of money. They've profited, it's like over $7 billion every year, something ridiculous like that. I think that's, and FLOC doesn't have the kind of support and recognition that they should have. Even among people who care about farm worker issues in Florida, not a lot of people that we talk to have heard of FLOC. I think union people remember the Mount Olive campaign that they did with pickle or cucumber workers, but it's really important for us to be talking about the FLOC campaign, what's going on in the tobacco fields, because not very many people here know about it. And it's really exciting. I mean, I'm really confident that they will come, that they will win, and it's going to impact the lives of a lot of tobacco farm workers when they reach an agreement. So,
Where do you think the confidence comes from that they won?
Oh, because they won their other campaigns, and they just don't stop until they win. So.
On the other side, have there been experiences you've had that have been discouraging or kind of problematic?
I mean, we all, of course, always have experiences that, you know, set us back. I think, for me, some of them, maybe some, I don't know. I really, like, really truly enjoy taking, bad experiences and saying, okay, what do we learn from this? How's it going to make me a better organizer? How's it going to strengthen our organization when we figure out what went wrong and how we can change it and turn it around? And being around, I feel like National Farm Worker Ministry and our Yaya chapter really attract positive, wonderful people. So it's really easy to do that when you're around good people who say, you know what? Our work supporting farm workers is more important than any little drama that we have or any setback that we've had. So let's figure out, you know, what we need to do to move forward. So I think, I mean, of course, there's always, oh, man, like, yeah, of course, someone doesn't come through with what they said they were going to, or working with another organization and there's a miscommunication or whatever, but, you know.
Has the work itself or your stances through the work with the National Farm Worker Ministry been controversial in other areas of life, in your family or in your church, at school?
For me, no, not so much. My family is very supportive. I think I was a women's studies major, so I worked that out really nicely. My faculty were always very supportive. The women's studies department, you know, the goal is to understand oppression in the world and figure out how to eradicate it. So it was, you know, a wonderful choice of study for me with the activism that I was doing. What allowed me to be so involved with Yaya during college is that I had a really wonderful scholarship that actually paid all of my bills. So that took all the conflict out of my life, because if I had to be working at the same time that I was so involved, it would have been a lot harder. However, there are plenty of people in the chapter who did work, you know, one or two jobs, as well as being very involved in Yaya and taking classes. So, you know, but that was, you know, for me, what really gave me a lot of opportunity to be involved. Yeah.
In our previous conversation, you talked a little bit about your future plans over the next year or so in Colombia and potentially some schooling that you might, more, I guess, graduate school that you might do in the future. Has your experience with the National Farm Worker Ministry helped inform those decisions in concrete ways or influence the way you think about your future?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I definitely am who I am now because of National Farm Worker Ministry, because of, you know, all of my experiences. I think, I'm going to be living in a rural community in Colombia as a human rights accompanier. They are a peace community resisting displacement by the paramilitary, and I'll be going with Fellowship of Reconciliation. And, you know, all of the, it's basically, to me, it's the same thing. It's the same work. I'm just going to be in a different country. For me, it's like taking the work that we're doing here and, you know, it's a really, it's an exciting opportunity for me, but I don't feel like it's, you know, I think it's, I don't know. There it will be you know, supporting campesinos who are trying to stay on their land. And here it's a lot of times working with campesinos who have been displaced from their lands, who were farmers before in their home countries, and have, you know, are here in this new situation trying to just protect some basic rights. And then also, you know, as well as people who have been here for generations and are kind of in similar situations as far as being really marginalized in their own country. So, yeah, I see it as definitely an extension of the work here and really connected to it. And then whatever I do in grad school when I get back will be focused on how to, you know, it'll be focused on how I can be most helpful building community power. And, yep.
Mm-hmm. Nice. What would you like to say to people who might be interested in getting involved with the work of the National Farm Worker Ministry today?
It is not optional. We all eat, and we all have so much to benefit from. I mean, it is optional, of course, but, you know, the opportunity to get to know farm workers, like, who pick our food is such a gift for the person who is, you know, who thinks they're helping out, because we always, of course, find out, okay, well, this has changed my life. I understand so much about how the world works, how oppression and greed work, how they work, how, you know, how, like, the powers that be, how much energy they put into keeping us divided and keeping us from getting to know farm workers. And, And I think the sense of community that we build, you know, among supporters who are all getting to know each other, working to support farm workers, and then also the relationships we build with farm workers are just incredible. And I really wish for everyone that it would be a part of their lives. Yep.
Do you have any other stories or comments that you'd want to add at this point?
You know, I guess I feel like
You can take a minute.
Yeah. I guess, I don't know, I feel like right now, I've been definitely feeling like we are just so, I guess the oppression that we're dealing with is really overwhelming, that kind of, like, the situation that farm worker communities are in right now is really overwhelming with, you know, with the anti-immigrant, all the, like, hateful laws and the just kind of the climate with enforcement. And then I've also kind of been seeing the effects of the really broken education system and really, I don't know. Man, it's just, the problems that we're facing, that we're trying to band together to fight, are so huge. And I guess I feel really fortunate to be around people that, you know, really understand this, but we choose to take things one piece at a time and work on concrete campaigns that we feel like, you know, that we know really do improve farm workers' lives and also contribute to, I mean, I think because farm workers are really the most oppressed workers in the States as a group, or at least one of the most oppressed groups, when we support their efforts to organize and gain dignity in their lives, we are doing that. Our work goes really a lot, it goes far in changing kind of the scope of our country as a whole and making our communities healthier. So, I don't know. Yeah.
How do you think those oppressive forces you're mentioning, I could see in your face, since the audio recorder couldn't pick that up, that you're feeling, how do you think they're different today? Are people just more organized in expressing them, or is there a different kind of oppression that you're...
I don't know. I think maybe it's just that I'm realizing it more now. I don't think they're really different. I think that, you know, people in power, people who own agricultural companies, people who make our laws, which a lot of times are the same people, really just don't give a darn about about poor people. They don't care about people who pick food and people who are, you know, doing the jobs that, of course, we all depend on. And, you know, to them, people's lives are completely expendable, and they don't care if kids grow up, you know, without a chance of making it to college, if they grow up, you know, dropping out of high school to work in the fields, or if they, you know, are born with birth defects because their mothers were exposed to pesticides. So, you know, it's like, yeah, and I don't think that's changed at all. I guess maybe I just lately have been, like, seeing the effects more personally. And, I don't know. It's like, it's so important to have community to, you know, it's like that somebody has got to throw some resources at these people who are really, like, intentionally ignored by people in power, and to also just, like, be there emotionally and be a support system. And so, you know, that's what I think, like, that's the most important part of our work, is to be friends and to be actually there for farm worker communities in a real way.
Great. Was there anything else you want to add?
Nope, that's it.
Cool. Well, thanks for sitting with me, Dominique.
You're welcome. Yeah.